this morning. You can be seated. And Jesus makes all the difference.
Amen.
The gospel changes everything.
Yes.
Been a common theme of the cross. And the cross is I tell you what, it's the great equalizer. It is Jesus's worst day was our best day. And it all happened right at the cross. I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the difference Christ has made in my life. I appreciate men that have dedicated their life to preaching the cross. And we have one of God's chosen servants here with us this week, Evangelist Bruce Fry. And he's going to come and sing for us. And he'll be doing singing and preaching all week long. And so you all just be praying for him and give him your undivided attention. I know the Lord is going to use him in a great way. I think we're in for something special this week. So, Brother Bruce, why don't you come at this time?
Well, what a joy it is to be with you, and thank you for allowing me to come, and thank you for the other church there that's given me the place to stay. Yeah. It's very nice. You know, it's dark in a church at nighttime. Do you know that? To turn the lights on, huh? But praise the Lord. I sure enjoy being with your pastor. I met his brother. I've been out in Colorado with him, and so it was a joy to be with your pastor last night. Took me to get me something to eat. We met some people and went and made a visit. And I want to ask you to pray. I was looking around. I don't think they showed up, did they? Daryl and Patty Jacobs. Anybody know Daryl and Patty by any chance? Well, anyway, we got to go see them. I was in Kingsport, Tennessee last week, and a friend of mine there, I told him where I was coming, and he said, I got a friend of mine I've been praying for a long time, and his name's Daryl. So you'll pray for Daryl and Patty. Probably going to go by there again and try to give another witness and see what God does there. But thank you for allowing me to come. What a joy it is to be with you. Now, I have some CDs in the back on the table there, and I always tell churches, I don't need your money, but the people I owe, they need it real bad. And I also have some gospel tracts back there. There's a picture of me and Hank Williams Jr. on the front, and those are free. You can take as many of those as you like, maybe use those to invite some people to come. And so thank you again for allowing me to come. Pastor, thank you for inviting me, and pray that God will use me. Now, since we got so many little ones in here, I thought I'd start out with a little song for the kids. And this is called God Still Cares for Me. And when I say that the first time in the message or in the song, in the chorus, you say hallelujah. And the second time you say amen. All right? Some of you are looking at me like the deer in the headlight. So we'll try that real quick. God still cares for me. Oh, we're excited this morning, all right. Let's try it again. You ready? God still cares for me. There you go. God still cares for me. Amen. When the lion round me roar, I will call upon the Lord. God still cares for me. The story in the Bible, I know that it is true. About a man named Daniel and all that he went through. Evil men, they turned on him, threw him in the lion's den, alone and without a friend. The Lord, he was present, and Daniel did pray, and a miracle happened that day. God sent an angel to that den, shut the lion's mouth, and then Daniel started to sing. God still cares for me. God still cares for me. When the lion round me roar, I will call upon the Lord. God still cares for me. Now the lesson of the story is very plain to see. God took care of Daniel and he'll take care of me. When the world laughs at my faith and the choices that I make, God still cares for me. God still cares for me. God still cares for me. When the lions round me roar, I will call upon the Lord. God still cares for me. Amen. You did really, really good. Now, if you'll come back tonight, I'm going to do a little impersonation of Barney Fife. I wrote a song called Nip It in the Bud. And so we'll do some of that and have some fun tonight. And all through, I'll try to do some fun stuff every night with you. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And there's enough to cry about in the world today, and it's good for Christians to laugh. We ought to be the happiest people in the world, especially if you're born again and saved and know you're on your way to heaven. Amen? Well, I want to sing you a song, and then we'll open the Word of God here this morning. This is one that my brother wrote. I'll tell you the story behind it. He walked into a Radio Shack one day, and the guy behind the counter knew my brother and said, "Hey, Sammy, how you doing?" And Sammy said, "Better than I deserve," and just walked on in the store. Now, there was a man and a woman at the counter paying their bill, and she left her husband there and walked over to my brother and said, "Young man, I heard what you said when you came in here, and it offended me." And my brother said his first thought was, "Lady, I wasn't even talking to you," but he didn't say that. And he said, "I'm not sure what you mean." She said, "You said better than I deserve." She said, "Don't you realize that you deserve a lot?" And that's what the world says. You deserve a break today. And we have that entitlement thing that's going on. Everybody wanting something for nothing. And he said, "Oh," he said, "I see what you're saying." He said, "Ma'am, you have to understand something. I'm a born again Christian. And anything better than hell in the grave is better than I deserve." And so after that encounter, he went home and wrote this song. And then he even preached a message called "Better Than I Deserve." So I'm going to sing the song that he wrote. But before I do, I want to ask you a question. How are you doing this morning? Y'all, most of you are awake. That's good. Thank you, Lord, for giving me forgiveness without end. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary, your love for sinful. Thank you for your mercy and for grace that never ends. Loving me unselfishly when so unlovely I have been. Every day I praise your name, thankful I can serve. And no matter what tomorrow brings, it's better than I deserve. Thank you, Lord, for family, for kind and precious friends. Thank you for a faithful wife, my dearest and best friend. Grateful for eternal life and for purpose in my pain, for helping me to realize that to die for me is gain. Every day I praise your name, thankful I can serve. And no matter what tomorrow brings, it's better than I. Thank you for your presence and for strength to carry on. I thank you for the peace of God when trials linger on. Every day I praise your name, thankful I can serve. And no matter what tomorrow brings, it's better than wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, open your Bibles with me this morning, if you will, to Psalm chapter 40. And I forgot to tell you this. You can purchase CDs from me here. I also have some of my brother's CDs, or you can go online at brucefry.com and you can download stuff. I always forget that. And I'm having a big sale. CDs are usually 15, but they're only 10 while I'm here this week with you, and so everything's on sale. My testimony CDs are 5, and so if any of that would be a help to you, just come talk to me after the service. And again, thank you for allowing me to come. You know, Psalm chapter 40, these first three verses here are really dear to my heart, because there was a time in my life when I was in a pit. I was in the miry clay. I wanted to get out, but I couldn't get out. Thank you so much. I was just thinking about that. Now, when I do this, it's going to make you very thirsty. Thank you, dear lady. I appreciate that. And but my favorite verse in the Bible, or my life verse that I've kind of call it, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I like what your associate pastor said there. Tyler said, you know, you might not remember the date or the time when you got saved, but it should have changed your life. And a lot of people say that they prayed prayers and they've joined the church and they've been baptized and their life never changes. But I can tell you this, a prayer that saves a person changes a person. And a prayer that never changes a person never saves a person. Because God says when you come to know Him as your Savior, your life will change. So if you'll stand with me as we read these first three verses, if you're able to stand this morning, we'll have a quick prayer time and jump right in here. I'll get you out about 3 o'clock. All right. And the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. God says that many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What is it that people are going to see that's going to make them fear God to the point they put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm here this morning to tell you that it's the miracle of a changed life. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, I realize without You I can do nothing. But I thank God that I can do all things through Christ. And Lord, I pray that You'd help me today. Fill me with Your Spirit. And Lord, use me, not only today, but all week long in the lives of these dear people. And Father, they didn't invite me here so they could hear from me. They want to hear from You. So I pray that You would hide me behind the cross, that You would be honored and glorified, high and lifted up, so You could draw all men to Yourself. And by chance, if there's anybody in church this morning, but they're not in Christ, may today be the day they realize their need to be born again into Your family. And Father, we'll give You all the praise, honor, glory for any good that comes out of these services, for You deserve it all. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I appreciate you standing. I had a friend of mine in Cleveland, Tennessee that taught me this song, and it kind of goes along with this passage of Scripture. I once was lost in sin's dark valley, drowning in life's angry sea, going down, no one to help me, but Jesus' love has lifted me. Though the storm around me rages, I'm holding to His nail-scarred hand. He brought me troubled water, He set my feet on peaceful land. Now I'm free from angry waters. By faith I'm washed in Jesus' blood. I'll drink water clean and peaceful that flows down from the throne of God. Though the storm holding to His nail-scarred hand, He brought me out of troubled water, set my feet on peaceful land, set my feet on peaceful land. Amen. Well, the questions that I get asked most of the time is, where are you from? Are you married? Do you have any children? Well, I'll tell you, I'm from Carthage, North Carolina, which is right next to Pinehurst, North Carolina, where they have the U.S. Gulf Open. And people always say, oh, you're from Pinehurst, you must be a great golfer. And I say, well, they don't mow where I play, so I don't play a whole lot of golf. But the fact of the matter is I grew up there. It's about hour south of Raleigh. It's right in the center of the state. I can go 3 hours and be at the beach, or I can go 3 hours this way and be in the mountains. So it's a pretty nice place to live. And then I got married a year after I got saved. My wife's name is Vicky, and Vicky had a 5-year-old boy when I married her, and she had never been married. And so Adam is 27 years old, and then my daughter Calloway is 19 years old. So that's kind of a little background there for you. But when I grew up there in Aberdeen, North Carolina, my mom was a very strong woman. She was a little bitty thing. She came up about right here on me. We called her Little Jimmy Dean, the dancing machine. She liked to clog and stuff like that. And but my mother was a very, very moral woman. She had a lot of integrity. She was a hard-working woman. She worked three jobs. She raised three boys. My dad was a truck driver. He was on the road a lot during that time. And she was just an amazing woman. But my mother was a lost church member. I got to lead my mother to Jesus Christ when she was 80 years old after she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And my mother 2 years ago went home to be with the Lord. And then as just a praise and a glory to God, right beside her grave, I got to lead my daddy, 87 years old, to Christ as well. And I'll be talking about them a little later on in the week and stuff. But I thank God for that. But I was walking through I came in from the outside, from the carport, and then right when I was going to get to the living room there, that's where the kitchen was, and my mother was standing there washing dishes. I can see this in my brain like it was yesterday. And I was coming through. She said, "Bruce, stop. I want to talk to you." And I said, "Okay, Mom, what is it?" And she said, "You're 13 years old now, and you know right from wrong, don't you, son?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Well, I think it'd be a good thing for you to join the church. You see, the church that we went to, you join the church, you get baptized, and then you're on your way to heaven. But that's out of order with God's word. God says you must be born again. You must be saved. Then you get baptized to show what has happened in your heart. That's just a symbol of what God has done and an act of obedience. And then you join the church. That's the right order. But, you know, our church had it out of order. But my mom said, you need to join the church." And I said, "Okay." I said, "What do I need to do?" And she said, "First thing I want you to do is this." And she gave me a little gospel tract like this. About a 12-year-old boy had trusted Christ as his Savior. I went in my bedroom. I read it. I got very emotional after I read it. I went back in there. She was still washing dishes. And I said, "Mama, I think I'd like to do what this little boy did." And she said, "Okay, I'll call the pastor." So she called the pastor of our church. He came by. He and I went and sat down in the living room. I remember being in the room with the man, but I don't remember anything else. I know we talked, but I don't remember what we talked about. If he opened the Bible and showed me Scripture, I don't remember him doing that. I'm sure he probably did. If I prayed a prayer from these lips to trust Christ as my Savior that night, I don't remember doing that. They said that I did. But the whole time I was with him, all I did was cry. I cried the whole time. I was very nervous, and I guess, I don't know, maybe I prayed a prayer, maybe I didn't. I just don't know. But that next Sunday, I was sitting in the back of the church. They had an invitation. They called my name. I came forward, I got baptized, and I joined the church. And so for years of my life, I thought if I died, I'm going to heaven because I prayed a prayer, I got baptized, and I joined the church. But prayer, baptism, and church membership didn't leave heaven to die on the cross. Jesus Christ did that. So for all those years, my trust was misplaced. And I believed the Bible. I believed in God. I believed that he lived, that he died, that he rose from the dead. I had all that in my head, but I had never trusted him in my heart. Now, God had given me the talent to play music and sing. And, you know, before I even got a guitar, I got a stick and a string, and I'd put it around my neck, and I'd stand in front of my mirror. And some of you will know what I'm talking about. You know, some of the younger kids don't know what a record is. But back in the day, we had records and albums. And, well, you can go to Cracker Barrel, and you can find them now. They're coming back around. Everything comes back around. But anyway, I would take those albums and I'd listen to every song. I'd write down all the words and I'd memorize the words and I'd stand in front of that mirror and I'd pretend there were thousands of people out there watching me and my stick and my string. And after the song was over, I'd bow and say, "Thank you very much. You want to hear another one?" And then years later, that became a reality for me. No longer was I pretending. I had a guitar around my neck and I was standing in front of thousands of people. And I moved from my hometown to Raleigh, an hour north from us, and I put a band together, started playing the clubs there, and we started packing the houses. We did our first CD. We were making a lot of money, and all the country and rock and roll stars that would come through our area, we were the band that would open for them, and I mean, things were going good, but inside, I was empty, And I thought the reason that I was empty inside is because I didn't have the major record deal. Now, I got an independent record deal with Tone King Records there in Raleigh, but I wanted more than that. You see, I wanted a bus with my name on the side of it. I wanted everybody in the world to know who Bruce Fry is. And now I don't care if anybody remembers my name. I want them to know who Jesus is. But back then, it was all about me. You see, I started out as a drummer, but I couldn't play the drums and sing at the same time, and I didn't want to sit in the back. I wanted to be out front where everybody could see me because I was so full of myself, right? And so here I am. All these things are going good, and I told my band members one day, I said, guys, I said, I want to move to Nashville, Tennessee. I want to get the major record deal, and I'd love for you guys to go with me and try to help me do this thing. And they said, well, we don't want to leave North Carolina. And I said, well, if you're not going to leave, I'll go by myself. And they said, Bruce, there's no way you would leave all of this. We've got it made. I said, well, we may have it made, but I want more. I said, I'm leaving. And they said, you're not going anywhere. April Fool's Day of 1990, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee. And I got there. I'm telling you, I was such a cocky rooster. I thought, you know, 2 or 3 months, I'll have a record deal. I'll be off and running. But 1997 turned in. What did I say? Oh, 1990. Man, I can't even remember what year I was there. 1990 turned into 1997. All of a sudden, I'd been there 7 years. Knocked on every door, played every club, met every person that I thought I could meet, trying to get my record deal. And all of a sudden, I'm broke, I'm tired, I'm discouraged. I'm wondering if I'm ever going to get a record deal. And I was downtown Nashville, Tennessee, playing a club there one night. And after my show, these two men approached me. And they said, Bruce, we've been watching you for a while. Not stalking you, but we've been watching you. We believe you have what it takes to get a record deal, and we like to help you. And I said, well, I could sure use some help, that's for sure. And they said, well, the first thing you need to do, you need to record 4 songs. It's probably going to cost in the neighborhood of around $12,000 to do it. So we can take those songs on a CD around to all the record labels in Nashville, Tennessee. And when they said that, I said, guys, I looked in my checkbook today and I have $43 left in it. And I was 43 years old. I was in credit card debt up to my eyeballs. I'd sold my Harley-Davidson motorcycle. I'd sold a bunch of music equipment just trying to keep my head above water. I was broke and I was in thousands and thousands of dollars in debt already. And I told them, I said, man, I don't have that kind of money. And they said, we know you don't, but we do. And if you'll let us be your management company, we'll put this money behind you and help you get this deal. And I said, okay. I said, here's the deal. You help me get a record deal, and as soon as I know I have one, then I'll sign any contract you want me to sign. But I'm not signing anything until I know I have a deal. Is that okay with you? And they said, sure, that's fine. So we got all the musicians together. I was going to record at Studio B where Elvis Presley and all these country music stars recorded. And I was so excited about that. And the week before we went in the studio, they called me on the phone and they said, Bruce, our lawyer said if we don't get your name on a contract right now, that we should back out of this deal. I said, well, that was not our deal. They said, well, that's the deal now. You either take it or leave it. I said, forget it. I hung the phone up on them. Called my producer and told him what had happened. He said, well, you want me to cancel everything? I said, not yet. You see, my little mother worked at a bank back in Aberdeen, North Carolina. And I called her on the phone. I said, Mama, I need to borrow $12,000 because I'm thinking if I don't get a record deal now, I'm never going to get one. And so she helped me borrow the $12,000, went into the studio. And while I was in there, my producer really liked me a lot. And he said, Bruce, I'm going to help you. He said, I know everybody in town. As soon as we get this CD done, I'm going to take it around and play it for them and see what they say, and I'll call you. And a week later, he called me on the phone. He said, Bruce, he said, I've been taking your CD around. They really like it, and they want to hear you do a showcase, and you need to jump on this while it's hot. Now, when you do a showcase, you have to rent a building, the lights, the band, and all that. Every time I did one of those, it cost me several thousand dollars because you'd have to cater it and give them free food and drinks and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, where am I going to get the money to do that? I can't borrow any more money. I didn't have anything left to sell. And then I went, wait a minute, yes, I do. I had a comic book collection in my closet I'd had since I was a little boy. I had Spider-Man number 1 all the way to 300, Daredevil, Thor, all these Marvel movies that are out right now. I had all those comic books in the white boxes with the acid-free backing and everything. They were nice books, and I had a bunch of number 1s. And I sold my whole collection for $4,500. And I found out several years ago that somebody got $1 million for Spider-Man number 1. I had that book. I had the Hulk number 1 through 6 when he's gray before he turned green. I mean, I had some old comic books. I shouldn't have done this, Pastor, but I went online not long ago to see how much that number one gray Hulk was worth. $49,000. And before I pass out on you, let's just move on here. All right. But see, God was moving the idols of my heart out of my life. He took my motorcycle. He took my comic books. I had been dating a girl for 5 years. She and I broke up, so he took my girlfriend. I was doing a musical comedy show with my best friend, and Joan Rivers heard him. He took off with her, and I'm back in Nashville trying to resurrect my career. So he took my best friend, my girlfriend, my motorcycle, my comic books, all this stuff. And God was trying to just get my attention is what he was doing. And so here I did this showcase, and when I did the showcase, you have 30 minutes to try to win the hearts of these people and hope they give you a record deal. And I sang my heart out. I entertained best I could. And when it was over, I stood at the door. And as everybody was leaving, I shook their hand. I thanked them for coming. And this is what they told me that day. They said, Bruce, you're a good singer. You're a good songwriter. You had good stage presence. But I'm sorry. You're not what we're looking for right now. And it crushed me. Later on that night, when I was by myself, I went in my bedroom and I fell on my knees beside my bed. Because I always believed in God. You know, the Bible says in James 2:19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And on my knees, I didn't ask God to save me. I didn't ask him for forgiveness. This is what I said. God, I said, I thought you gave me this talent so I could be rich and famous. If that's not it, God, I said, why am I here? What is my purpose for living? God, I really want to know. And then my next breath, I said this, God, I am broke. And I've never been broke like this in my life. And looking at it on paper, I don't know if I could ever get out of debt. God, could you help me with that? That was my prayer. Cried myself to sleep, woke up the next day, and I went to the store and bought me a Bible for $8. And I started reading the Word of God. And the more I read the Word of God, the more God started convicting me of the sin in my life. But instead of doing what the Bible says in Acts 20:21, repentance toward God, faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd done things my way, so I got out a piece of paper. I said, I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop partying. I'm going to stop drugs. I'm going to stop doing all these bad things because I thought if I could just clean myself up that I could win favor with God, get my record deal, go to heaven, and live a wonderful life. But I was trying to work my way to God, and the Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I was such a cocky rooster, if I could have worked my way to heaven, I'd have bragged about it when I got there. But guess what? I couldn't keep my list. Some days I'd drink, some days I wouldn't, some days I'd cuss, some days I wouldn't. I was just having a hard, hard time. So all this is going on. And during this time, somewhere during this time, I got to meet one of my idols, Hank Williams Jr. I met him in a club one night. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if you've ever done this. You ever had a pity party before? You ever done that? You don't want to invite anybody. You go by yourself, right? And this night, I was having a pity party, and I was sitting at the end of the bar, kind of drowning in my sorrows, if you will. It was a very slow night, and not a lot of people in the club. But all of a sudden, the door opened, and Hank Williams Jr. walked through the door. Now, when I saw him, I thought, maybe he can help me get my record deal. So I jumped up off the bar stool, and I was going to make a beeline towards him. And as I was going by the stage, the guy that had the house band there, the lead singer, grabbed me by the arm and said, hey, Bruce, will you get up here and sing so I can go hang out with old Hank? My first thought was, no, you need to do your job. Let me go hang out with old Hank. But they had let me sing there so much I felt obligated. So I grabbed the guitar, got on stage, and he and Hank went and sat down. Now, the guys in the band said, Bruce, what song do you want to sing? Well, I said, Hank's here. I said, let's do one of his songs. But I don't like the way he does it. I said, I want to speed it up and kind of bump up the tempo a little bit, do it my style. And they said, well, he might not like that. And I said, I don't care what he likes. I'm telling you, I was so full of me. It was just terrible. And so we did the song and did it too fast. And the next thing I saw was Hank Williams Jr. standing in front of me going, boys, that's way, way too fast. And the guys in the band said, we tried to tell him, Hank, he wouldn't listen to us. And I looked at him, I went, Hank, that's the way I do it. He said, well, let me show you how I do it. So he got on stage. We did the song over, and then we did a few together. And he said, you don't mind if I sing one by myself, do you? And I said, no, I don't care. So I walked off the stage. He started singing, and halfway through the song he was singing, he started crying. And then he started sobbing. uncontrollably. You could have heard a pin drop in that place. And I'm looking at him going, what's he crying about? He's rich. He's famous. He's got number one hit records. He's got a bus with his name on it. Everything I've dreamed about since I was a little boy. And then I thought this. He's just as miserable as I am. God showed me that day, Bruce, you can have all of this and you're still going to be miserable. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And nobody knew what to say. And finally, Hank just put his hands in the air and he said, I'm sorry. I can't sing anymore. And he walked off the stage and he put his arm around me. He said, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, boy? Now, I'm lost as I can be. I just lied to him. I said, sure. I had no idea what he was talking about. And we went and sat down at the bar. I was trying to tell him about some songs, especially one that I'd written for his daddy. And you know, thinking maybe he'd help me get my record deal. And the whole time I talked to him, I watched a tear stream down his face. You know, while all this was going on, my brother Sammy got saved in 1977 in Sweetwater, Texas. He said, I found the living water in Sweetwater. Amen. My brother had been going in a barn behind his house up into the loft. That was his prayer closet. And he had been praying for me to get saved for 21 years. How many of you have somebody you've been praying for a long time? You ever get discouraged? You ever get tired wondering, God, are you ever going to save them? That's how my brother was. He said, every time I would come home from Nashville, he'd look at me and say, God, he's the same old cocky rooster he's always been. Aren't you ever going to do anything in Bruce's life? But what Sammy didn't know was God was doing something in my life. And I don't know who you're praying for, but I can tell you this. God loves them more than you love them. He wants them to be saved more than you want them to be saved. So I want you to be encouraged today. And whoever it is you're praying for, don't stop praying for them. Maybe as I'm singing this song, you might want to pray for him right now. This is a song that my brother wrote as he was praying for me, my mom and dad. We have a younger brother, Dale, we're still praying for. So if you'd pray for Dale, I'd appreciate that. Someone has a daddy, and they love the daddy so. Time is steady passing. Daddy's getting old. Daddy won't. For the time is running out. It could be this very hour. Daddy, won't you listen now? And are you someone, someone's been praying for? Someone loved you enough to take the time to fall upon their knees, praying, Father, won't you please find a way before too for my brother to be. Oh, my daddy. You may have a brother, and only God can know the hours you spend praying for the brother you love so. You may be that brother, thinking time is on your side, so will be required. Son that you love so, and they both have long forgotten the faith their mother sowed. You may be that son or daughter, and you're wandering far away. The time has come to now return, now before too late. And are you someone, someone's been praying for? Someone loves you enough to take fall upon their knees, praying, Father, won't you please find a way before too late for my family to leave. Won't you find a way before too late for that someone to believe? I had no idea that my brother was praying for me. Or his family was praying for me, his church family. And my brother was a youth pastor, and he'd go all over the country singing and preaching to young people. And every church he went to, every pastor he met, he would beg them to pray for his brother Bruce. And that's why we're continuing to ask people to pray for our younger brother Dale. And so here, all this is going on. And then I asked God to help me with my finances. And about a week later, I got a check in the mail. And it was not for a lot of money. It was for $181.11. And that doesn't sound like a lot of money when you're thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. But you know what it did for me? I said, there is a God. He did hear my prayer. He does care about me. And the Bible says if you're going to come to God, you have to believe that He is. And so I got that check. And when I looked at that check, the check came from Denmark and Canada. You see, I'd done the Matlock television show back in the early 90s. They paid me to do that show. I never expected another dime, but they used two of my songs. So this was a royalty check from Denmark and Canada when I did the Matlock television show in Wilmington, North Carolina, some years earlier. It was all weird to me, and I said, this doesn't even make sense. So I took my check down to the ASCAP Corporation. They collect your money if you're on radio or television. And I showed it to the lady out there, and I said, ma'am, you people sent me this check, and I was glad to get it, but I don't know why I got it. Thought maybe you could explain that to me. And she looked at that check, and she looked at me, and she said, Bruce, are you a member with us? And I said, yes. She said, are your songs copywritten? Are they published? Are they cataloged with us? I said, no. And they said, well, then we don't owe you a dime, son. I said, well, why did I get that check? She said, I have no idea. And in my heart that day, I thought, God sent me that check. Then she punched some numbers in the computer, and she went, oh, my goodness. She said, Bruce, there's a lot of money in here for you, but you can't touch it. I said, why not? She said, because you don't have your paperwork in order. So she helped me get everything in order, and she said, now, I'm going to tell them your situation. We'll submit this. You're going to get some money. I just don't know how much. We'll see what happens. In January of 1998, three major things happened to me. The first one is that I got a check from ASCAP. They went all the way back to the first time they aired that show and paid me up to that date. And it was for thousands of dollars. And usually when Bruce Fry had money in his pocket, whoo, lights of gas, everything's great. But guess what? God had taken the love of money out of my heart. You see, I wanted to be rich and famous because I love money. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil, but the love of it is. And I love money, but all of a sudden it didn't mean anything to me. When I got that check in the mail, I held it up to heaven and I said, God, thank you. This is really going to help me. But why am I still so miserable? The second thing that happened was on January the 21st of 1998. Where this picture was taken was a place called Skull's Rainbow Club. The owner of that club was on his way to work, 4:30 in the afternoon, broad daylight. Two men jumped him and robbed him and killed him. And he was my friend. I've been going in this club for 7 years of my life. A few days later, they had a graveside funeral. A Catholic priest was performing the funeral. And he started saying things like this. Well, our friend was not a church-going man. He was not a religious man, but he was a nice man. He had such a good heart. I'm sure he's in a better place. But I had been reading the Bible where it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. You read down to verse 12, it says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be nice to people or do good things. It means your goodness will never get you to God. That's why you need His goodness, His righteousness applied to your life. And then he kept talking about him having such a good heart, and I thought I had a good heart, but Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God says your heart is so wicked you can't even know your own heart. And it was at that funeral that God revealed to me personally, Bruce, you're not as good as you think you are, and your heart's wicked to the core. Then everybody got in a line, and they walked over to the casket, took a shovel full of dirt, threw it in the hole, and moved on. I had never done that, never seen it done, but I didn't want to be an oddball, so I took my turn. And when I threw my shovel full of dirt down in that hole, there was a wave of fear that came over me like I've never felt in my life. I wondered where my friend was. I wondered where I was going. And I ran back to my apartment. I came in the house, I opened my Bible, I got on my knees, I looked at my list, and I said, God, I'm not reading enough, I'm not praying enough, I'm not keeping my list good enough, because I was trying to do it all by myself. And that night, I called my brother Sammy on the phone, because I knew my brother was a Christian. I knew he loved God, not because he said he was, but because of the life that he lived. He had a great testimony. And I called him on the phone, I said, Sammy, my career's at a standstill. I said, my friend was just murdered. And I said, I've been reading the Bible. I'm trying to keep this list. And I said, I don't know, brother. I just want to call and talk to you. Sammy talked to me that night, prayed with me over the phone. And a few days later, I got a letter in the mail from my brother. It was like a hug from North Carolina to Tennessee. And in that letter, he said, Bruce, I love you. But I don't love you like God loves you. And he shared the gospel, and he put some of those Chick tracks like you have back there, because he knew I was a comic book kid growing up. And so I was reading my brother's letter, and I'm reading the Bible. I'm trying to keep my list. And my band members, I went to Wintergreen, Virginia every year. It was an annual event. We would get there on Tuesday, set our equipment up, and then we'd sing for 4 hours, party all night, sleep during the day, and we'd do that all the way till Saturday. That was my old life. But this year was different. I was reading the Bible. I was trying to keep my list. My band members are partying. They're just doing the same old thing. But I'm in there with my door shut, and I'm saying, God, help me to be a good boy. And I did really good all week long. And a friend of mine was getting married on Saturday in Raleigh. So I had to drive 3.5 hours Saturday morning to do one song in my friend's wedding. And after I got through singing that song, packed up my guitar, getting ready to leave, the preacher that performed that wedding walked up to me and said, Bruce, he said, I sure enjoyed your singing today, son. Can I ask you a question? I said, sure, preacher, what's that? He said, have you ever been saved, son? Have you ever been born again? I started crying. I said, preacher, I thought I did that when I was a 13-year-old boy. I said, I don't think I'm saved. I said, but I'm doing the best I can, preacher. He said, Bruce, you can do the best you can. I die and go to hell. He said, God sent his best for you. You need to trust Jesus Christ. And I said, yeah, I've been hearing about that. And he was a musician, God is saved, and called to preach. And he shared his testimony with me. And after he did that, he prayed for me. I drove back to Wintergreen. My band members gathered around me that night, and they said, Bruce, you've been here with us all week, and you're not partying with us. Don't you love us anymore? I said, yeah, I love you guys. I'm trying to change my life. Do you hear what I said? I'm trying to change my life. But I couldn't change it. I said, I'll tell you what. To celebrate our last night, I'll have one drink with you, but don't ask me to have any more. And they said, okay. So I had one, which led to another, which led to another. Next thing you know, I'm right back in the middle of the muck and mire I'm trying to get out of. And I woke up that Sunday morning. I was so ashamed about what I'd done the night before. I looked up to heaven, and I said, God, I don't want to do this anymore, but I can't quit. God, please help me. My brother had invited me to come in here and preach that night. So I drove all my band members to Raleigh, 3.5 hours, dropped them off. Then I drove another hour to my brother's church. And it's different from this church. It's a real long shotgun church in North Carolina there. And when I got there, they were all standing up, singing a song. The place was packed. I slipped in the back hoping nobody would see me. My brother didn't know I was there, and he preached the word of God. And at the end of the service, he made this statement. He said, if you're here tonight and you're not sure if you died that you go to heaven, he said, why don't you step out of your seat when we have this invitation song started and come down here. We'll open the Bible and show you how you can be saved by the grace of God by putting your trust and faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation. Won't you come? I'm back there in the back. My hair was hanging in my face. I'm weeping. I'm crying. I'm shaking. I'm hanging on to the back of the pew, afraid if I let go of it, I'm going to fall into the pit of hell. And under my breath, I was begging my brother to stop the invitation. I was thinking this, brother, I can't come forward. I'm Bruce Fry. I'm the hometown boy that went to Nashville to be a star. Everybody knows me. And I was so full of pride, I couldn't move. Then my brother left the pulpit, walked down here. He said, you know what? It's late. It's time to go home. But I believe there's somebody here who needs Christ. And I don't know who you are. But we're going to extend this invitation and give you time to come. I'm back there going, no, don't extend it. End it. Please let me out of here. I'm about to die. And when he realized nobody was coming forward, he said, well, we're going to end the service. But if you're not sure heaven's your home, would you at least let me pray for you before you go? And my hand shot up in the back. He said, I see your hand. I'm going to pray for your soul. Not knowing it was his younger brother. And I ran out of the back of that church. My mom and dad lived about 15 miles from there. I drove to their house, and I cried the whole 15 miles. Pulled up in the yard, and I walked in the house. Guess what? My mom was washing dishes. She's always washing dishes. I walked in there, and I stood behind her, and I was just weeping and crying. And she turned around, and she said, Bruce, are you okay? And I said, no, Mom, I'm not okay. She said, can I help you? I said, I don't think so, Mom. I said, but you can do one thing for me, Mama. She said, what's that? Will you forgive me for having such a filthy mouth around you all these years? Mama, I'm so sorry about that. She said, oh, don't worry about that. I got used to it after a while. I said, Mama, you shouldn't have had to get... Mom, I'm begging you. Will you please forgive me? And she said, okay, son, I'll forgive you. And I said, thank you, Mama. And I went back in the bedroom where I grew up as a little boy and cried myself to sleep. Woke up the next day getting ready to head back to Nashville. My brother Sammy called me on the phone. He said, have you left yet? And I said, not yet. He said, can I buy you some lunch before you go? And I said, sure. So I met him at this restaurant. We ordered our food. He started talking to me about the Lord. The tears started coming again. I was weeping. I was crying. I was shaking. I was under conviction. Never even heard that word. And by the time the food got there, I was crying so hard I couldn't eat. I looked around. And I said, Sammy, I'm embarrassed. I feel like everybody's staring at me. Can we just go outside? We went and sat down in his car. And that's when he opened the Bible. And he asked me this question. He said, Bruce, he said, could you admit to God that you are a sinner? I said, oh, yeah. I know I'm a sinner, Sammy. I know I've done wrong. I know I've broken God's laws. He said, that's right, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, Bruce, do you realize because you're a sinner that you deserve to go to hell? I said, I don't get that at all. What are you talking about? He says, well, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. That word wages means payment. That word death is not just physical death, but spiritual death, separation from God forever in a place called the lake of fire. He said, Bruce, if you work a job and you get paid wages, you deserve those wages when you do the work, right? I said, yeah. He says, well, God says you deserve hell when you do the sin. Clicked in my head. I said, well, I deserve hell then, brother. He said, that's right, Bruce. He said, you deserve hell. I deserve hell. If we all got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell right now. He said, but the verse doesn't end there. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, Bruce, you should have been on that cross. I should have been on that cross. But Jesus loved us so much, he left heaven and took our hell on the cross. He was our substitute. He took our place because of his great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He showed me Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love, or demonstrated or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then he showed me Romans 10:9-10, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then he showed me Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how do you call on God? God, if you're up there, save me. No. The Bible says, again, in Acts 20:21, repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is repentance? Repentance is very simple. Number one, you change your mind about yourself. You're not good enough to get to heaven on your own. You can't do good enough to get to heaven on your own. Secondly, you change your mind about your sin and realize your sin is against the holy and righteous God. As David penned in Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I done this evil in thy sight. Then thirdly, you change your mind about your Savior and realize Jesus Christ is your only hope for heaven. Because he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say he was a way to heaven. He said he was the way to heaven. Buddha's not the way. Muhammad's not the way. Being baptized is not the way. Being a good person is not the way. No, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And once he explained all that to me and I understood it, he said, Bruce, would you like to bow your head and heart right here in this car and trust Christ as your Savior, repent of your sins, and trust him as Lord of your life? And I said, no, Sammy, not right now. He said, okay. And he prayed for me. And I drove back to Nashville, and a week later, I was in my apartment, and I'd rented a movie, and this will tell my age. It was a VHS deal, you know. And I put it in the player. But before I pushed play, I said, God, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I don't want to think about you tonight. I don't want to think about the Bible. I don't want to think about sin or heaven or hell or none of that stuff. I just want to watch this movie and relax. I feel like my brain's on fire. I hope that's okay with you, God. Pop me some popcorn. Push play, watch the movie. And in this movie, there was the main character did all these wonderful things for people, and he was such a great guy. And at the end of the movie, he died. And when that movie was over, it started to rewind. I started crying. And out loud, I said this, if that had been a real person, he wouldn't be going to heaven. Oh, he was a great guy. He did a lot of nice things for people, but there was nothing in that movie about him trusting Christ. And I knew that's what I needed to do. I went into my kitchen and I stood there at the sink And I just wept there for a minute. Then I went into the bathroom. I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, Bruce, what's wrong with you? Are you losing your mind? And I turned around and I went in my bedroom. And I got on my knees beside my bed and I looked up to heaven. And I don't remember everything I said, but the first thing I said was this, God, I don't understand it all, but I'm miserable and I know I need you in my life. God, I'm sorry for everything I've ever done that was displeasing to you. God, please forgive me. And I said a whole lot more than that. But after I got through, I felt like the Atlas Man. It was like the world just rolled off my back. And I didn't know what that was then, but I know now it's the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And oh, it was a wonderful thing. And I looked at my clock and it said 12:30, and I reached over and I grabbed a pen and I wrote these words. I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ at 12:30 because I didn't want to forget it. And before I got off my knees, I said, God, from this day forward, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. You lead and I'll follow you. Then I crawled into the bed. I was still weeping and crying. And I looked up and I said, God, I hope I said all the right words to you. And I realize now it's not the words you say that save you, but the intent of your heart as you pray. When I was a 13-year-old boy, if I prayed a prayer, it went from my head out of my mouth and never changed my life. But 43 years old, from my heart out of my mouth, it changed everything about my life. I called my brother Sammy to let him know about the decision that I had made. And he said when he hung the phone up, he ran around the house and he screamed and he yelled and he fell on his face and thanked God. And he said he took another lap. He said, I had a Baptocostal fit. Hallelujah. Then he called me back and he said, Bruce, when are you coming back home? And I said, in about a week or that weekend. And so I went back to North Carolina, and my brother and his wife and children took me and bought me a steak dinner and a birthday cake to celebrate my born-again birthday. I was sitting at the table, and I was getting ready to blow the candle out. I looked at my brother across the table, and I said, Sammy, do you remember a couple of Sunday nights ago when you preached a message and then extended the invitation and prayed for somebody in the back of the church? I said, do you remember that night, brother? He said, Bruce, I'll never forget that night. I said, Sammy, that was me. That was your brother back there that raised his hand. He said, you got to be kidding me. This is the first song that I wrote after I got saved, simply entitled, That Was Me. A young man, a bottle in his hand, not too long ago, that was me. Every night, Saturday night, dim motel lights, not too long ago, that was me. That was me who had strayed, confused and afraid, counting all the cost. That was me. Kneeling by his bedside, tears flowing from his eyes, not too long ago. That was me. Jesus Christ led him in, giving all his sin. Not too long ago, that was me. That was me who had strayed, confused and afraid. I replied, he was unlost. That was me. My Savior was unlost. That was me. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I want you to think about something. You know, for years of my life, I trusted in a prayer that I don't even remember praying to get me to heaven. But I want you to know that salvation is not in a prayer, although there's a prayer to be said. Salvation is in a person, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. While your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, I'd like to pray for you like my brother prayed for me. over 23 years ago. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that if you died you'd go to heaven, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody I could pray for like that this morning? Bruce, pray for me. Because if I died right this second, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I have a question about that. I have a doubt about that. If that's you this morning, would you let me pray for you? God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Bruce, pray for me. Because if I died right now, I'm just not sure. Please pray for me. Anybody else at all? I'm looking around. I don't want to miss you. If you're not sure, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Father God in heaven, you've seen this hand that was raised this morning, and more importantly, you see the heart behind the hand. And Father, I pray for them. Even though it was 23 years ago, I remember how scared I was and how I felt. I wish I'd have gone forward in that meeting, Lord, but I thank you that you gave me another week to live. Lord, we're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So I pray you'd give this one courage during this invitation to come forward and let us open the Word of God and lead them to the one that can change their lives forever. Father, many hands were raised, people praying for family members and friends to be saved. So as I do this invitation today, Father, I pray that you would take over. I pray that the lost would come to get saved and the saved would come to pray for those they've been praying for. Would you stand with your head bowed, your eyes closed? We'll play this song of invitation. If you raised your hand, you're not sure heaven's your home, why don't you step out and come? Why don't you come? God bless you. Thank you. The Lord is good. His mercies are endless. The Lord is good. His love has no end. The Lord is good. Come taste His forgiveness. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good. He is high. With all of your sin, fall at His feet and taste of His mercy. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good. Maybe you didn't come forward. Maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but you know something's missing in your life. Maybe you're sitting in a car outside. Maybe you're listening on the radio or the internet or however it's being broadcast. You know, you don't need me. You just need Jesus Christ. And wherever you are, you can call on Him today and trust Him as Lord of your life. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. And I pray that you'll do it for us eternally too. The Lord is good. His mercies are endless. The Lord is good. His love has no end. The Lord is good. Come taste His forgiveness. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good. He is high and holy, and the Lord of glory, yet He will receive all who repent and call on His name.
Morning, good spirit here. I love the testimony. I love that God, you know, God's long suffering to us. He's patient with us. He's patient with us, and He's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I love that. But I also love the people praying for him. I love the story of his brother, and the over the years and the burden, and many people God used in your life. And I'm just so excited about the opportunity many of you have to reach people that only you can reach. I can't reach them. People God's given me that I can reach that you can't reach, and there's people you can reach. And you know, we're getting ready to start up Sunday school next month, and we're going to do netcasters. That's what we're going to all go through together. And we're just going to train and hone our skills and just allow God to help us teach us truth on how we can reach people effectively. And I'm so looking forward to that. But I'm just so thankful. We had a good response at the altar, and I know Emily came down. Emily, what'd you do today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that good, Mike? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're happy for you, and you be sure to shake Emily's hand and you just tell her how happy you are for her. Welcome her into the family. And now it's your birthday. Spiritual birthday, and you turn 23. You know that that's an eternal that never stops. Isn't that great? That's a wonderful thing. Turned 20, and got to lead somebody to Christ last night. That's wonderful. People are getting saved. Amen. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's be back here tonight at 5:30 if you want to help in the choir, and then we got our service at 6:00. Has anybody got a word on their heart? You can be seated. You guys are tired. I know. Probably, you can be seated. If anybody got a word on their heart today, I just want to make sure if anybody's got a testimony or anything they want to share. Yes, please.
I turned 14 this month.
Amen.
14.
Amen.
And I don't have the day.
Uh-huh.
I do know it was around the end of the 20s, beginning of the 20s.
Yeah.
And, so, 30 years old. So.
Where'd you get saved? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I related to him, like, Lord, am I going crazy? I feel like I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
But then you get saved and boom.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thankful for the people that prayed for me. Just pray for your ears. Pray for me. Just real thankful for God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's you're a trophy of grace. Yeah. See, there's trophies of grace sitting all over this auditorium, and I thank God for it.
Amen.
Thank God for it. Yes. Anybody else today? Yes, sir.
Well, when Brother Bruce mentioned that burden, he lifted up. I remember that I got saved. I had no idea the burden I was carrying until the Lord took it away that way.
Amen.
I still remember that time.
Amen.
Praise God for that.
Praise the Lord. Yes, Brother Chris.
Like on my heart that morning, he said, "Won't you invite that boy to come help me?"
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord.
Is it the same one?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. No, I just saw the clothes.
Well, see, this is the Lord's work, okay?
Yeah.
And he's always working on the other end. And, just be faithful. Brother Van Horn, he brought out a great truth to Pastor Tyler last week about, in that verse, it says, be witnesses unto me.
Yes.
you're giving the gospel. It's unto him, and he's doing the work in their heart. He saves people. Yes, sir.
Me and Jen turned one in the gym.
That's right. I remember. He got saved at camp last year, and he got saved on the way home from camp, on the road to Damascus. He got saved last year. Yes.
Amen.
Abigail. Praise the Lord. That's good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Laura? Good. I remember that day. Happy day. Happy day. Yes, Kelsey.
I just want to say that it makes me happy to see all the young people getting saved young, because I was I was in my 20s when I got saved, and to have the joy of the Lord in your heart from a younger age would have been just amazing. But all the young people that are getting saved now just brings me joy. So.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. That's good. I agree. Yes.
And then I said, yeah, you're saved. I was like,
am I pounding? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's neat to see our young people leading others to Christ. And
Amen.
We had that at camp a few years. One of our campers led another camper to Christ. And that's always special. Amen. That's good. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful. Yes, sir.
Love how the Lord uses testimonies.
Amen.
And how testimonies are used today. We could all give our testimonies to somebody who's lost and turned their life. I got lost children, lost siblings. Pray for them all the time, every day.
Amen. I appreciate you bringing that out. Keep it up, church. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And there's a verse in Revelation 12. There's a war in heaven, and it talks about the serpent, it's the devil, and it says, and they overcame him. And this is what overcame. This is what the devil cannot stand up against. It was by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Amen.
And that's a powerful thing. And that's yours. And yes, sir.
I just want to remind everyone of our blessed assurance.
Amen.
From a God who cannot lie.
Right.
And, when we're saved, it is past tense.
Amen.
It is a done deal.
Amen.
We have present tense, everlasting.
Amen. That's good. It's he did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Amen. It's good. It's good. One of my favorite books I like to hand out to people when we're soul winning is that book called Done by Kerry Schmidt. And it's not about anything you do, what he has done. Amen. Amen. Good testimonies this morning. Amen. Yes, 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 ma'am.
I'm glad that I have assurance.
Amen.
Got saved when I was five.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I remember that day. We appreciate you, Anna. Praise the Lord.
Daniel, I just want to thank God for saving me.
Amen.
The longest time, I was almost ashamed of my testimony because I was brought up in church since before I could breathe and open my mom's belly. Like I said, at 8 years old, the first time God ever dealt with me.
Yeah, man.
And for the longest time, I'm thinking, I don't have a powerful testimony. There's no need to share it. But I needed God that night just as much as he did.
I'm yes, sir.
When he was drinking and doing all those wicked things, just as
lost
as him.
Amen.
My testimony is just as powerful as his because his name God
is right.
Saved him, saved me.
Amen. Amen.
So, kids, I want you to be proud that you got saved at a young age.
That's right. Right.
Tell people that God sheltered you by his grace.
Amen. It's good. It's good. Amen. All right. All hearts and minds. Yes, sir, Brother Josh.
I want to thank God for everything he's done for myself and my family. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of bad in this world, but appreciate the good in it. A lot of that bad will make you a stronger person when you fight through it. And I appreciate God for every day I live.
Amen.
And the energy for these young kids, it's teared me up today.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank God.
Brother Bruce Rye here, I appreciate the world, his testimony. That really tickled me to death. Really give me a challenge
myself,
work on myself harder.
Amen.
I appreciate everybody.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, you look better with short hair.
Yeah. I'm a good woman, wasn't I?
Yeah. It's good. And yeah, y'all grab some of these tracks and invite some people out this week. Be here all week and looking forward to what the Lord has in store. If we praise the Lord for the soul that's been saved this morning.
Amen.
And we're just excited about this week. So thank you all for being out and the good spirit here today. Thank you for all the testimonies. Amen. And let's be yes, sir.
Brother, one more testimony.
Yes, sir.
The Lord saved me.
Yeah.
I've been living with God for years and years and years. Hmm. And I tell you what, every day gets quicker.
Amen. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Amen. Nothing like serving the Lord. Yeah. Amen. It's great. Wonderful. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Grace of God's on your life. We appreciate you. We've been praying for you. And amen. Amen. Well, let's, but hey, it's been good in here this morning. Amen. I love it. I love it. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Glenn, why don't you dismiss us in prayer?
Brother God.